Good morning, KYLK listeners. Good morning, Sister Linda Randall. Welcome to the Sunday School Snapshot. I am Reverend Lewis Winkley. I preside and serve at the Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, under the leadership of my pastor, Dr. Sheldon L. Jackson, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a wonderful lesson this morning in our Sunday School Standard Lesson Commentary. We're dealing with Lesson 4, Unit 1. Our theme is A King Forever and Ever, and our unit lesson is Jesus being the heir of David. Let's get into some prayer, then we'll move into the lesson. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you, Lord, just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given, Lord. Thank you for touching us with your finger of love. Give us another chance, new grace and new mercy for this new day. With great expectations of hope and our faith, Lord, we hope we move in you, Father, moving into your being, Lord, and let you guide us and lead us today. Blessed with your joy, happiness, and your peace. Father God, we pray for our friends, family, even our foes. Father, bless this lesson. Link us together by your power of your Holy Spirit, Father God. And bless us, Father, by feeding us your word ever so gingerly to strengthen us, Lord, that you get the glory out of our lives. We forever give thy name praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. And the people of God said amen. A Savior's birth. That's the title of our lessons today, A Savior's Birth, in our lesson 4. Our devotional reading is coming out of Micah, Old Testament, chapter 5. They have 1 through 6 is printed. I encourage you always to read the whole chapter so you get the full impact of our devotional, of what the author is pushing for us through the power of the Holy Spirit to receive. And then, of course, our scripture, our working scripture, our background scripture we're working on. We're back exploring Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, in its entirety. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 16. For our background scripture for Micah, you know, Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah and Hosea, and dealt with the prophesying of both Judah and Israel and their issues and problems they had with their captivity, their sieges, their fights. And Micah, his name means who is like the Lord. And Micah here was hoping that the people of Judah would learn from the issues of the people of Israel. So in contrast, you know, a lot of times, you know, we see things going on and we hope and pray that the people, you know, some people learn just from hearing or either seeing or witnessing. You know, sometimes, you know, some people got to put their hand in the fire, you know, in order to learn a lesson. Some people got to, you know, do it. They just can't get it through osmosis. You know, you heard about it, you think, that's a good idea not to do so-and-so. You know, that's a good idea. Some people have to go through the pain and the shame and the hurt to have the impact enough to change and trigger their thinking. So that's what Micah was doing. So Micah 5 dealt with points to the salvation of God through Jesus Christ through a lowly Bethlehem. Now, what I liked about this was the fact that Bethlehem, because what they did was they contrasted the holy city of Israel being under siege. And one of my resources says this, and then it contrasts with the lowly Bethlehem. But actually, Bethlehem is very powerful because of the fact that Bethlehem, number one, means house of bread. So we know that. We know the bread is the blessing. That's where the power comes from, is from that, from the bread of heaven, from the word of God. So we know the bread is the blessing. It's called a house of blessing. Then also Bethlehem geographically is up like almost 3,000 feet. I think I read about 2,500 feet or something in elevation. So it's up higher. So that's why we talk about going up to Bethlehem. So anytime you talk about Bethlehem, you see Bethlehem going up. That means you're going up to the house of blessing, the house of bread, the house of God, up to where you'll be restored, you'll be replenished, you'll be supplied all your needs through God. through a lowly Bethlehem. Some people aren't even paying. You'll miss that, you know, from a lowly Bethlehem. But God uses this, and he shows us in this lesson, God comes because he can, because he's God. God comes to and through the lowly, because he's going to deal with the shepherds. When you get in your lesson, he's going to be dealing with the shepherds. The shepherds out there minding their business. The shepherd is a very important job, but it's like, it's frowned upon. You know, we seen how David, he was frowned upon by his brothers when Samuel came and was looking for the next king. And they were all looking at all, Jesse had all his sons out there except for David. And they was like, oh, he's out tending sheep. You know, they weren't worried about that, but somebody had to do it. And that's a lesson for us. Somebody got to do some jobs that God gives and he places out there. Somebody has got to do it. And then whatever job gives us, God gives us the job he gives us, and whatever he gives us, our appointments and our assignments, we ought to do them to the best of our ability as a form of worship as unto him. That's just a side note. So let's get into the lesson. So when we jump into Luke chapter 2, we look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in those days. Now, what's happening in those days that went out in the decree from Caesar Augustus to all the world, it should be taxed. Now, in those days, Caesar Augustus is trying, you know, that's he's Caesar. He the head honcho of all the Roman world. He's trying to expand the kingdom. He's trying to expand the power and the hand of the Roman government all over the world. So at this time, he's working on the Mediterranean areas where we are, and we'll see that as he's expanding, he's dealing with this. So, you know, anytime you have a campaign and you expanding, you trying to expand out, you need money. That's why he said he had to have taxes. So he got to have taxes. So he comes up because he's building stadiums, he's building Ephesus, he's expanding out the thing. And they have this term called Pax Romania, which means Roman peace. And Roman peace was founded, given, supported, and kept by Roman military might. So the peace didn't come from them being nice. The peace came from them having a military that could steamroller and crush on anybody. We all knew about the Roman soldiers. We all know about the garrisons. We all know about them. We know about the might of the Roman, the weight of the Roman thing. That's the same thing that we deal with here now in America. You know, us being the number one military shoot, there's not too many people that want to go up against us directly because we are the number one military. So the Roman government has peace exacted by their military. So at this time in those days, that's what Caesar Augustus was working on, and all the world should be taxed. Now, verse 2 is very important because it points to Luke, and as the taxing was first made within Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. The reason why they have this in quotations, because this is something important, because this is Dr. Luke showing a specific, organized, purpose statement that is going to authenticate when Jesus was born. Because if you go and run your history, while Cyrenius, when he was governor of Syria at that time, right around that time, King Herod was alive, but I think he dies in AD in BC 10. And then Cyrenius was governor, and he was governor around BC 4. So it puts Jesus's birth between BC 6 and 5. So when you run that, so that's a Luke thing. He's showing his specific particular things. So in this time, he says in verse 3, it said, all went to be taxed. So Caesar Augustus says, everybody be taxed, everyone into your own city. Go back where you come from. So Joseph and Mary, who is great with child now, she's about to have our Lord and Savior, have to go back to Bethlehem to take the census and in order to pay their taxes. So even though this was a great deal, as I said, Bethlehem was the elevation. So they had to go up about 2,500 feet to get up to Bethlehem. And then it was hard on her because she was great with child, you know, and this particular task, this journey took about a week or so for them to get there. and all this. But even in the midst, anytime you have a great thing that you must do that's very difficult, we trust in God and trust in the Lord because of that, because of God and because of his birth, because of what's going on, all the things and all the moving pieces that were going in for the Savior's birth. We had to trust. Mary had to still trust. Joseph had to still trust, even though they were doing what they were told to do, to follow. And that's what we have to do. We have to follow and follow our leadership, follow our administrations, and do our part as a form of worship as unto God, because we know our Savior is being born. Now, let me move on, because I want to get to this point. Because when you get into your lesson, you'll see some things. But I want to point this out. In verse 14, it talks about glory to God in the highest, in the earth and on earth, and goodwill toward men. Now here, you've seen the angels come up upon the shepherds. So I said that God will come to the lowly first. That don't mean that the elite or the rich or the powerful won't know. But God will come to the lowly, because that's how God is. God starts from the bottom and he spreads out to make sure he don't miss nobody. Some people start from the top and they'll let it sprinkle down and it might catch some folks and it might not. God started from the bottom up, so everybody knows, because that's what the focus is. He says here, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Now, the peace means peace to all mankind, not just the Jews, not just the Romans, not just your family, not just your friends, but to all mankind. And then he said, he also takes us, he says, goodwill toward men. The Savior's birth is goodwill toward all, not just those who believe. God take care of the just as the unjust. God take care of his people that he loved, just like he take care of the folks that worship him like us. So your Savior's birth lesson tells us to focus, to trust in God, believe in him, and then share the goodwill and the peace to all mankind. I got to go. I hope and pray that you have a wonderful time checking out your lessons, very rich and juicy. Let the Holy Spirit have his way with you is our prayer. And Merry Christmas to each and every one of you.